And there's only so much you can do with money. Spend it, save it, give it away. So I always want people to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy it, but I want you to enjoy it in the manner in which it makes sense for your lifestyle, right? What is that they always say? Champagne tastes on a beer budget, right? Or, I don't want you to spend like a Kardashian. And what I find is that you do need to celebrate, but keep it within a limit. So it's like, is a $100,000 car worth celebrating when you've made your first $10,000 a month? No, but it is worth celebrating to say, I'm going to treat myself.
Hey, babe, welcome to the Sales and Social Podcast. I'm so freaking excited that you are here with me today. Are you ready to simplify your sales and learn to sell in a way that feels good, but also brings you in more consistent cash? If you find yourself feeling like you're doing all the things on social media, but it's not converting, you feel like you have inconsistent cash months, but you desire more recurring revenue, and you just want to sell in a way that feels good without feeling salesy and also have a lot of fun on your journey to entrepreneurship, you are in the right place. Hey, I'm Jillian. I'm your sales queen and your soon-to-be podcast BFF. 22 years in the corporate sales space, losing my job during the pandemic, having no freaking idea what I was going to do, but knowing that I had a God-given talent for sales, I quickly shifted to the online space, where I have not only been able to grow my own personal business from zero to 500K in just 18 months with nothing more than a Zoom link, a paper planner, and a whiteboard, I've helped hundreds and hundreds of others scale their businesses and explode their sales. So grab your beverage of choice, a pen and a paper if you're anything like me, and let's dive into today's juicy episode. What's up, babes? Welcome back to the podcast. I'm pumped today. I know I say this a lot about the podcast, but when I get to have like one of my like real life friends on the podcast who is not only just like an amazing human, but like amazing at what she does, you guys are in for like such a treat. A lot of you guys know her because she's in our community and in our network. But Amy Goetz, welcome to the show. Tell my audience who you are and what you do.
I am so delighted to be here. You know, you're one of my favorite people, and I don't get to see you in person often enough, but I do get to see you online plenty, and that makes me happy. So my name is Amy Goetz. I am a financial advisor. I absolutely am passionate about what I do. My belief is that wealthy people change the world, and I help people kind of overcome their money mindset. We talk so much about long-term strategy, but I think it's important to have a plan. So core values of planning, education, and simplicity. I want you to understand how your money can work for you. I want you to understand the path you need to take to reach the goals that you want. And I want to be the partner that helps you do that.
Yeah, I love that. And you and I have had so many conversations about this, whether it's been online, whether it's been inside of my membership, or whether even it's been just in life. And I think that so many women and men don't really even understand like where to start. So I've really kind of shifted my podcast a little bit more on like these how-tos. Yeah. So let's kind of start with like, if you are someone that is new to money or new to investing or new to making money in the entrepreneurial space, like where does one even start now that you're making money?
Now, I love this question and I love a how-to because again, education is so important. So I think the number one thing, and it's going to sound super obvious, but it's to really know your numbers. Yeah. Right? As an entrepreneur, you know how important it is to know. And I know you're the girl that could answer that question anytime you were asked walking down the hall in your corporate job. But okay, what's coming in? What's going out? What's the difference? And if that difference is positive, awesome. Let's talk some strategies on where to put that to work best for you. And if that number is negative, then let's figure out how to make more money. I think it's important to have the conversation about how do we make more, not so much about how do we spend less. But at that point, too, you have to look at your spending. Mm-hmm. So if we're in the exciting position where you have extra on a monthly basis, my number one thing for people to do would be to make sure that you have an emergency fund. I don't even like to use the word emergency. I like to use cash safety net or opportunity fund. But the point is that you want to have money set aside so that when something happens, inevitably it will, because that's life, that it's not going to hit you so hard on a monthly basis and you have some money put aside to handle that. Once you get that emergency fund going, and that number is different for everyone. For my entrepreneurs, I like it to be a little bit higher than, at least more on the 6 month side of things, because if you don't work, you don't get paid. For someone that's at a corporate place earning a W-2, if you're in a partnership with someone else, like it can be a little bit lower because you have opportunity to have a break from work or you have another person driving income for you. So once you get your emergency fund, I don't want anyone to have any debt that's unsecured. So no credit card balances, no loans. A lot of times our entrepreneurs get loans in their business and they kind of stretch out. So make sure that you're paying off those debts that are moving when you see the Fed news saying the interest rates are going up. Those are the debts that are going to be affected. So making sure that you have a cash safety net, making sure that you're paying off credit cards and any other debts. And then at that point, I really want people to start investing for their future. As entrepreneurs, I love for people to put money away in either an IRA or Roth IRA, or even solo 401ks are awesome. That's going to be driven by how much cash flow you have and how much money you earn. But there are simple, easy steps to kind of get you on that path. And a lot of times people just don't know where to start.
Oh my gosh, there's so many places that I want to take this podcast. Well, first of all, I think people think like, oh, to work with a financial advisor, I have to make X amount of dollars, or I have to have so much worth of net worth, or I have to be making X amount of dollars. Like, is there a myth around that, or is there actually some truth around that?
There is some truth around that. So for people like myself, I don't sell anything that's insurance-based. So I am paid to manage assets. So it would be nice if people came to me with assets, but I'm also the person that will start with somebody who doesn't have as much, but has amazing potential, right? Like there's a lot of times people get out of med school, you know, they're going to be high-income earners, they're going to be doctors, but they're starting off, you know, from zero.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you can see a path from entrepreneurs as well. So there's a little bit of truth sometimes to feeling like you need some money to invest, but there are people like me that will delight in having a conversation with you. People have their own opinions. I tend to steer people away from things that are insurance based. I want you to make sure that you're investing your money and that you're going to be able to have access to it in this lifetime, that we're not locking it up for a future that is beyond you and you don't get to use it in that moment. But I have conversations with people all the time because I'm of service and I love talking about money mindset and I love giving people hope that you might not be ready to work with me now, but here's how you're going to get there. Yeah. So don't assume, never assume that you can't have that conversation, because there's amazing people in the financial space that would delight in having it with you.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I love about you, not only because like you're a real life friend, but like you make it seem so simple and you talk to people like they're an actual human. You guys, I'm going to tell you guys a real true story. I invested with in air quotes, a financial advisor about 3 years ago. I thought it was a financial advisor. Okay. Amy's probably gonna kick me in the ass right now because her and I were having conversations at this time. And I was like, oh, Amy, I got this like financial guy who's gonna like take care of my shit. And after this podcast, I'm sure she's gonna slide into my DMs and be like, let me help you, which she should. And I thought that I was setting up with a financial advisor. So every year I've been giving this gentleman huge lump sums of money. Okay. Like huge lump sums of money. Couple months ago, I reach out to him and I have a question for him about a low or high yield savings account. And he's like, yeah, I don't really know about that. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Because if he's my financial advisor, like, wouldn't he know about that? Then a couple weeks later, I ask him a question about paying off my car loan. And he's like, yeah, I'm not really sure about that. So I'm like, that's interesting. Like, why is the financial advisor not helping me give financial advice? Well, come to find out, he's an insurance guy. And I was buying into life insurance over the last couple of years. And here I was thinking that I was investing in the market, investing in stocks, and my money was working for me. But here I was really just investing in life insurance. So I think I should also be an example for you guys to know that, like, it's so easy to get confused. It's so easy to be like, oh, yeah, I think my money's working for me. And now here I am, like, I have no idea what I actually did the last couple of years.
Well, I want to just say, first of all, you're doing something. Right. So let's honor and acknowledge that you took the opportunity and you're doing something. And I also want to say nothing is permanent. You can always unwind things and it might cost you a little money, but money is freedom. So at that point, I get it. But I do want to make sure that people are aware that you should be able to reach out to your financial professional. And nothing makes me happier than when someone calls me for questions like that. Because what I don't want people to do is make the decision on their own. And then I could have had the opportunity to steer them maybe in a different direction. And I have these conversations every day with clients and they bring me joy because I'm like, awesome. Sometimes people just need to verbally process too, right? Like, let's just chat about what makes the most sense here. And I don't necessarily always tell people what to do. I allow them to kind of back into the right decision because people need to feel empowered to make the decision on their own.
Yeah. I think another thing too, which I know you have also helped me and you've had, you know, some little tough love with me even on this too. I think as entrepreneurs, we come into money really quick and we like think we're fucking ballers and we're like, oh, I'm a billionaire all of a sudden and I'm going to like do all the things. And it's like really slowing down and making sure that you understand like how that money is going to work for you in the long term. And like, I remember a conversation that you and I had vividly, even around like cars, around like, do you need this car right now? And one of the things that you said to me was, is it going to make you feel wealthy now? Or is it going to make you wealthy later? And you guys know I've talked about this G-Wagon for a long time. I wanted a G-Wagon. I wanted to buy it. And we were actually on a membership call. And Amy said to me, is it just going to make you feel wealthy now? Or is it going to build you wealth later? And you guys, that like turned the ship for me. So for all of our people who are listening to this podcast, who are sitting on all this money right now and feeling like they're ballers, what's your advice on that?
First of all, congratulations, right? Because cash is king. So I delight in that you have the opportunity to have a significant amount of cash. And there's only so much you can do with money. Spend it, save it, give it away. Mm-hmm. So I always want people to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy it, but I want you to enjoy it in the manner in which it makes sense for your lifestyle, yeah. Right? What is that they always say? Champagne tastes on a beer budget, right? Yeah. Or, you know, I don't want you to spend like a Kardashian. And what I find is that you do need to celebrate, but keep it within a limit. So it's like, you know, is a $100,000 car worth celebrating when you've made your first $10,000 a month? Right. No. But it is worth celebrating to say, I'm going to treat myself. And I don't want you to actually feel like it's just you, because I have conversations all the time where people will have money come in from a bereavement situation, or they have a 401k they're rolling over and they feel like, oh, I have this money right now. And then they have this strategy of like, I'm going to buy real estate and I'm going to pay off all these. And what I try and tell people is, when you have chunks, we'll call them, of money, and you can make those work for you. A rule of thumb, I can make no guarantees, but a rule of thumb is your money doubles roughly every 10 years if it's invested. So I also like to remind people that, you know, a $50,000 decision today is actually a $100,000 decision in 10 years, 220 years, right? So it's a matter of making a decision that if you had 50 grand and you invested it today, it's worth 110 and 220. So really look at, treat yourself. You've earned it. Buy something that makes sense within the means that you are now. Put some money away for the future. And then I love to talk about gratitude and giving. Like, I think it's really important. We all have time, talent, or treasure. And if you don't have treasure yet, you have time that you can spend doing something. You have a talent. You know, I was the treasure of everything for my children. So I would say also, especially when you come into a little bit, make sure that you're keeping the money afloat and giving a little bit back into the world.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I think another thing that I just know about you too is like, everyone's going to spend their money differently, right? Like, I know for you, it's, you're really big on experiences.
Yes, I am.
Right? Like, I remember one time you were like, hey, I don't have a fancy car, but like, I've been to like all the best places in the world, right? And like, for me, it's like, I don't travel, I don't get on airplanes, but like, I want nice bags and nice cars. So I think like too, it's like, it's going to feel what feels good for you, like in your body. So
I love that you acknowledge that too, yeah. Right? Like, I'm not a car person, but I don't have any judgment for someone that is. You're right. I'm an experienced person. So it again, spend on what brings you joy. And that's also what I would tell people when they're looking at their spending. You know, if people are feeling like, okay, I want to invest more. I want to make more. Okay, well, look at what you're spending your money on. Find what makes you joy and make sure you're doubling down on that. But yeah. If you're spending on a convenience, or you're spending because you just haven't been paying attention to something, that's the places where you can actually find some savings and pivot it to something that you would prefer.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that for sure. And I think that there are a lot of people who do judge based on like what people are spending their money on or all those things, but like, it has to feel good in your body. One of the things that I know that you are so passionate about is money mindset. And probably every single person that's listening to this podcast, including me, struggles with money mindset. And I know that this is something that people are always like coming to me for or asking me questions on. And it's like, what are some of like your biggest tips or the biggest takeaways around money mindset?
I mean, I think it's really a kind of a fun question and one that catches people off guard to say, what if you're in a relationship with your money, which hint you are, what would your money say about you? Would your money say that it's being ignored? Would your money saying, woo, we're having really too good of a time? Would your money saying like, I'm only seen as a means to an end and it's not celebrated? Like, kind of consider what your relationship is with your money. How do you feel about it? Do you That's feel good. Scarce? Do you feel abundant? So look at that. And then I would say, it's always important. How you treat your $10 is how you're going to treat your $100, how you're going to treat your $1,000. You've heard this before. Mm-hmm. So people often think, oh, well, if I have more money, I'm going to be X, Y, or Z. And they perceive it to be negative. Who you are inside is who you're going to be. The more money you have, amazing. I would like you to realize that it's a flow. Like it comes to you, through you, and back out again. Like it's, you're meant to kind of live your life with your hands open so that you can give and receive. But I think it's important to be present with it, to be present in the appreciation of where you are now. I love a vision board. I love affirmations and looking at what's towards the future. But the only way that you could actually put yourself in that space is to be in gratitude for where you are now, be happy with what you have, and then start to vision more. But I do believe in the power of manifesting and the law of attraction. And I think it's having a mantra. And you may have heard me say this before, but for decades, my mantra has been money flows easily and freely to me. I can't stop myself from thinking that when something serendipitous happens. I see a penny on the street. I see repeating numbers on the clock. Anything that positively happens in my life, my immediate thought is money flows easily and freely to me. And that is my belief. And it's what's become actually my life. I mean, and I'm fascinated in how it can actually work, but it's really speaking into truth, what it is that you want, and having the belief without having it in your hands that you'll get there.
You obviously believe that you can rewrite your money story.
1,000%. Honestly, I would argue that most people's money story comes from someone outside of themselves, most likely a parent, a caregiver, a spouse. Like, I think it's important to write down what your limiting beliefs are around money. Think about how money was talked about in your childhood home. And if it wasn't talked about, even more curious, like what did they say about other people's money? So most of the time, money mindset comes from outside of us. And if we just quiet the noise, kind of put on our blinders and focus on what it is that we believe and rewrite those money stories, 100% it can be reprogrammed.
What do you feel if somebody comes from money and they had a really good upbringing, but then they're in scarcity mindset? Where does that come from?
I think that comes from self-worth, actually. I don't think it comes from,
Ding, 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 ding,
oh, wait, I won.
Okay, was
Yeah,
it?
but I think it
Remember
comes
actual
from,
question? That's the best part about having a podcast, you guys. I can literally ask people questions like about my own life and business.
But I think too, it comes from safety, right? I know for you, right? Feeling safe is a really important thing. And so money brings safety and being able to have it and the fear of releasing it, right? And so for me, I think it's really working on what feels safe in your body. And I mean, that's my own money story. I grew up in a house that was enough. Like I had a roof over my head and food on the table, but it was paycheck to paycheck. And the thing that I heard my whole life was, money doesn't grow on trees. And so my scarcity belief in that I don't ever want to live like that kind of caused me to double down my focus on building my wealth. And so it's actually at this point where that was my sole focus that I can sit back and go, ah, okay, well, part of that is the need to feel safe in my body, the need to feel safe. And money was the means to that. And so it's really realizing that even if all the money went away, you're still safe in your humanity and who you are. And spending a lot of time on that personal development, I think, helps push forward more at a quantum leap pace, the money mindset.
I love that. I mean, it's so true. And you guys, that is like literally me to a T because, I grew up with money. Money was never an issue. I do well in my business. Abundance is fine, but like I'm always afraid. You guys, I'll say it right here on the podcast. Like I'm always afraid it's gonna go away. I'm always like, am I have to work at Target? Am I have to be a DoorDasher? Like, hey, I'll go to a restaurant and be like, hey, maybe I could wait tables here. Like if nobody buys my coaching. Like I'm always in that thinking. And I think it's exactly what you said. I think it comes down to safety, being a sole provider for myself. Being, someone who has health conditions, like what if I couldn't work, like all those types of things. So I think it really goes back to being like the safety in my own body.
And I think two things there. One, whatever you decide to do, you're going to crush it. You're going to be amazing. And you're
The
going to make
best
a,
fucking DoorDasher ever.
you are not kidding, like 100%. But then two, I think part of that is really putting money away for your future. And I don't say that lightly or flippantly. Like safety will come for you because you're like, maybe one day I won't, there'll be a period of time where I can't work. So having some money put away for that is the ultimate sort of way to keep that feeling in your body. And just to also know, and you know this, but most people in the entrepreneurial space, most people that are hustling and getting it done, no matter what you do or where you are, if it's not in this iteration of yourself, it's in a different one and you're going to be successful there too.
No, I absolutely love that. So Amy and I, you guys actually met in a mastermind. We connected in a mastermind and we became like real life friends. How important has getting into like new rooms and new environments helped you, even though like you're not necessarily like in like the entrepreneurial space?
It opened my eyes to a much bigger playing field, right? Like I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and so many people that I work with, like their mentors, their everyone in their life all comes from like the same little pond. And I chose to think bigger. So it's been literally life-changing for me. I have met some of the most amazing people. I am extremely well-resourced with people in my circle that I know can help me. If I'm like 1 to 2 connections away from like the right and perfect person for anything in my business. Yeah. And I also want to say in the entrepreneurial space, and this, you don't know that I'm, you know, about to plug you, but oftentimes I see people start investing in all the things before they're actually making money. So I always recommend people to be in your space, Jillian, because without sales, you're not actually drumming up business and earning income. So it doesn't matter what your social media strategy is. It doesn't matter what your funnels and all of that are. If you're not building your audience, creating quality connections, and learning how to authentically sell and believe in what you do. So getting in rooms with people such as yourself has changed the game for me. And honestly, in the financial world, it's male and pale. I mean, I'm just going to say it. And when I decided that I was in these rooms with these powerful entrepreneurial women, and I realized I could use my like divine feminine, my intuition. And when I switched my practice from being more intuitive, and I mean, I'm a numbers girl, I got all the numbers credentials, but like when you can like lean into someone's heart and their money mindset, and you can still be a badass business person, like that is a game changer. And so much of the entrepreneurial space is a personal development space too. And the people are just like, you know, surround yourself with good books, good experiences, and great people. And like your life is going to be elevated every day.
Yeah, it absolutely. I mean, it's so true. I mean, that's why, I mean, I continue to put myself in rooms, environments, places, because you also don't know like where your next connection is going to come from, right? Like Amy could meet someone tomorrow that's a great connection. I could meet someone that's a great connection tomorrow and be like, hey, you need this amazing financial planner. Like you never, ever, ever know. So that I think is such an important part of like getting into rooms and connecting yourself to people as well.
And you have to invest in yourself. If you want people to invest in you, then you have to invest in yourself. You have to believe in yourself enough and expand your growth. Like every time Jillian gets in a room, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to get to learn from her, and she's paying for it. And then that allows me to feel like I can do bigger and be in bigger places. So thank you.
I actually just did an Instagram live on this last night. I was so afraid my towel was actually going to fall off on my Instagram live. But I had somebody reach out to me, and this quick story, someone reached out to me yesterday and asked me for a strategy session. I don't publicly sell them anymore. And they used to be $500 like back in the day. Right. So she was like, hey, do you still do strategy sessions? And I was like, yeah, like I'll send you the link. Right. And the link was $1,500. And she was like, oh, last time my strategy session was $500. I see that you've 3x'd it. And she like eye rolled me. And my response back to her was, just in the last 6 months alone, you guys, I want you to hear this. Just in the last 6 months alone, I've invested over $150,000 into mentorship for myself. So why would I still be charging the same rates? Why would my program still be the same amount of money? Why would I still be charging the same things to work with me? And you want to be working with people that are growing. You want to work with people that are upping their prices. You want to work with people that are doing these things. So my first thing is like, if it's triggering you, that's your own work you have to do. But the second part of this is like, making sure that you are always investing in mentors that are growing and are doing these things. And as you are investing in these people, you also get to increase your rates. And the other thing I said on this live, and I would love your take on this from like a money mindset standpoint, is I'm never triggered by people when they tell me their prices because I've invested in large amounts, right? So yesterday I asked somebody for a quote on something and it was $30,000. If I had never invested at that price point, I would have like totally been triggered by that or like eye rolled that. But because I've invested at that level, I can also charge that level and I can also be okay with that level. So if you're being triggered by these types of things, I think it's also some work you have to do. And I'd love your take on that.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. And what I like to call it is kind of your financial set point. I would be really like wanting to have a different conversation with you, Jill, if you'd done all this investing in yourself and you hadn't raised your price points. You hadn't said my set point, my minimum, and I call it that. Like I had a client reach out to me and she's had her best months in 2024. And she's like, I'm so afraid it's all going to go away. And I'm like, you haven't raised your set point. Yeah. You've invested in yourself. You are credentialed. You have shown up, you know, month after month, year after year, doing this work and your work and serving. I'm like, raise your set point. And that is what you have done. And so I'd be more concerned if you hadn't said, I'm worth more. Because that again goes back down into the self-worth. Like, I'm going to need that certificate or that course, and I'm going to need to keep spending, but I don't get to see the value in myself.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So I think it's a matter of also being relative. You are able to spend $150,000 on yourself because you have figured out how to sell. You have cash flow. You have systems. Like, you did it in a really great order, because I remember the Jillian who was doing Canva herself. I remember the Jillian who was, you know, had the paper, the notebook, like was like, what calendar app? Like, so you got yourself to that point and you have strategically invested to keep going.
Yeah.
And I also want to say, if you don't want to be, if you don't want to like do that level, that's okay too. I think we can, you know, again, get on social media and be like, well, this person's investing 50 grand in this program.
Oh, I have to. And they're successful. Don't
so
have
I
to.
Have to do it. No, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. But they're but absolutely lift others up. Yeah. And just know that whatever is you're seeing in your space, I always like to remind people, if someone has something that you want, or if someone is charging something that you want to charge and it feels a little negative, I would challenge you to get in the space of being like super pumped, because it's circling closer to you. It just means that it's in your field and you're closer to getting there. Don't ever look at it as a negative. It just means it's now getting closer and closer to you.
Yeah. When I hired my one-on-one business coach this year, my CEO, Alex, you guys know I talk about Alex literally every day on the show. I remember we got on a quick sales call. I was on my phone. I was literally driving and he told me the investment and I was like, okay. And I like wired it to him. And I remember exactly what you said. I was like, I want to one day be able to jump on a 5-minute call with somebody who just found my content a month ago and be able to be like, let's do this. And what he showed me was like, it's possible because there's buyers just like me out there. Yeah. So it's like, you want to also be in these people's rooms to be like, it's absolutely possible for you. Because up until then I was like, there's no way this is happening. People are just finding people's content, jumping on a call and spending, you know, six figures on somebody and wiring them money. But then I was like, no, it's absolutely happening. So you also borrow the belief from other people in the space when you're in these bigger circles.
Absolutely. I mean, and I know most people have been in your circle. They don't really leave you. So they've been around for a long time. And like, I can just see like every year, the iterations of Jillian, and it's incredible. And I'm so proud of you. And I celebrate all of the amazing things that are happening in your life. And you are worth every penny and more. You know that. And I need you to know that the rest of us see that and value you as well.
Oh my gosh. I love you, my friend. Can you come to Arizona so I can hug your face soon?
Yes, I will.
Mean, we've been here together. So I feel like you need to come back out and like do another trip. We can go to Sedona together again. Get Bridget, Stacey, Monica. We'll all come back out.
We'll all come back. We'll have a reunion. It'll be so fun.
Oh my God. Amazing. So people are listening to this podcast right now and they're like, okay, I got to get my fucking money in order. I'm a hot mess, just like Jillian. Where do I go and how can people find you?
I delight in all conversations, and Jillian can speak. Like, I am not a girl who passes any judgment, and I am like, I meet people where they are. Amy@ircwealth.com is my email. You can find me at Amy W Getz Finance on Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn, and there's a lot of ways to connect, and you can ask Jillian and she'll send you to me. So
awesome. You guys, we will put all of her information in the show notes. This is obviously a topic that I'm very passionate about. We're going to be doing more episodes like this because as you guys are making more money, I want to make sure it is working for you. Amy, thank you so much for being here, my friend. I appreciate you and love you.
Thank you. Love you back.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Sales and Social Podcast. If today's episode has you fired up and you loved it, could you do me a huge favor and leave a review over on Apple Podcasts? Or take a screenshot and share it on social media. And don't forget to tag your business bestie. And while you're there, connect with me on the gram at the Jillian Murphy. I'm on a mission to change the mindset of sales. I want people to love sales because the reality is sales is the foundation of everything you do. It's how your business generates revenue consistently. So show up and be unapologetic about selling, because once you fall in love with selling, babe, sky's the limit. So I'll catch you on the next episode. But until then, feel free to slide into my DMs because I cannot wait to get to know you better.